This afternoon has been a wonderful time of music and message, and my heart's been stirred. I trust yours has. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23. If you have your Bible with you, there'll be a text verse that will come up on the screen. I just want to share a simple thought with you, just to place our hearts and minds on the Lord. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." What a passage of Scripture. What a name. There are many names and titles when you study the Bible that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Savior. Throughout Scripture, you're going to find that there's no one name that can aptly describe and define and declare all that He is. There's of those 256 names that are given to the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, in the Scriptures, 8 of them relate to His birth. Of those, none are more moving and majestic than the name Emmanuel. This name is mentioned only 3 times in all of the Bible, yet it's the first name that God gave to His Son. I want you to just take a few moments with me and think of all that is bound up in the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. First of all, could I say to us that when it comes to that name Emmanuel, it means God with us. God with us. What a truth. That name reminds us that the babe that was born in Bethlehem's manger was no ordinary baby. He was none other than the Lord from heaven. We find in verse number 22 that it's a prophesied name. Now notice what he says. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin, and then shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And that was from Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. 700 years before the Lord Jesus ever came into this world, Isaiah said that he would be born of a virgin, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and that son would be God's son. He would be Emmanuel. He would be God himself. God with us. It reminds us that Jesus was born as no other person's ever been born. He was born of a virgin. Can I remind us that the virgin birth of Christ is not incidental? It is fundamental. Amen. To what we believe as Christians. Without it, the Lord Jesus could not be our Savior. He wouldn't be sinless. Humanity can never give way to deity. The finite cannot give way to the infinite. We understand that through the womb of a virgin, that the Lord Jesus, the second person of the divine Trinity, took to himself a human nature and a human body, that Jesus, through the womb of a virgin, became a man without ever ceasing to be God. Fully God and fully man. Frederick Buckner put it this way. He said, "The claim that Christianity makes for Christmas is that at a particular time and place, God came to be with us Himself. In a town called Bethlehem, a child was born who, beyond the power of anyone to account for, was the high and lofty one made low and helpless. The one who inhabits eternity comes to dwell in time. The one whom none can look upon and live is delivered in a stable under the soft, indifferent gaze of cattle. The Father of all mercies puts Himself at our mercy. The glory of Christmas is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself." Jesus didn't come to be just a good example. He didn't come to live a life just so that we could think about what He would do or what His steps might be. Oh no, it was a far greater plan. It was a far grander purpose. There was a divine mission here at stake. God had taken notice of our lost estate. He knew that we were sinners, and in order to bring us back to Himself, He took the initiative to send His Son into the world to redeem us. That baby that would be born and laid in a manger would grow to manhood, would live a sinless life, and would die as our substitute at a place called Calvary. God with us. God became one with us, one of us, that He might be with us. I thought about that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I thought about, what does that name hold for you and me? What does that name hold for us who name the name of the Lord Jesus? Well, it reminds me that He's with me. Joseph learned that in a pit at Potiphar's house. He was incarcerated in a prison because of doing right. He would wind up in Pharaoh's palace. And in every place you're going to find, the Bible said the Lord was with him. The Lord, whether it was on a high note or a low note, God was with him. Aren't you glad that God is with us? Moses learned it at the Red Sea, Joshua at the walls of Jericho, Jonah in the belly of a great fish. We've been learning that on Sunday nights, and we've been preaching through the book of Jonah. David, when he faced Goliath, Elijah, and as he stood on Mount Carmel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, learned it in the fiery furnace, Daniel in a den of lions, Paul and Silas in prison. All of them learned this great truth that He's God with us. May I remind us that our extremity is God's opportunity to show Himself strong in our lives. Christian, can I just say to you today, no matter how deep your valley, no matter how steep your mountain, never lose sight of the fact that Emmanuel, God, is with you. He's with you. Never lose sight of that wonderful truth. But not only is He God with us, but as Emmanuel, He's God in us. In us. God became one of us that He might be with us, that He might be in us. Do you know that's the uniqueness of biblical Christianity? No other religion in the world claims this truth. No Muslim would ever say that Allah was in them. No Buddhist would ever say that Buddha was in them. No worshiper at the shrines of Hinduism and their half million gods that they worship would ever say that their God or gods is in them. But yet as Christians, as those who know the true and the living God, we can say that He is in us. He's in us. Oh, there was a day that He was born in my heart. Oh, He came and took up residence in me when I trusted Him as my Savior. He's Christ in me. In me. What a uniqueness. The moment a person comes to know Christ as Savior, by faith in Him, we enter into a living union with Him. We are in Him and He is in us. But the Bible says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a passage. What a truth. Oh, it gives us security. I'm reminded of the security that I have in Christ. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm glad that when Jesus saves somebody, He completely saves them. He saves them to the uttermost. Since my life as a Christian is bound up in His life, I'm going to live as long as God lives. Isn't that an amazing truth? But not only is there security in that name, there is sustenance in that name. I'm reminded of that Jesus in John 15, He would make His way to the cross, as He was making His way to the cross, and He was crossing the Kidron Valley, making His way to the slopes of Gethsemane, where He would pray that great prayer and offer Himself to the Father, and not my will, but thine be done. Oh, what a time. As He passed by the vineyards there on the way up to the Mount of Olives, He would give what we know as the parable of the vine and the branches. He would say to His disciples, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You see, the branch is in the vine, and the vine is in the branch. You can't tell where the branch ends, where the vine ends and the branch begins. There's a oneness, there's a symmetry, there's a beauty of oneness. And friend, can I tell you, Jesus used that wonderful picture to show the oneness that we have with Him. That just as the branches are one with the vine, so we are one with Him. And as they draw nourishment and sustenance from the vine, you and I draw spiritual nourishment and sustenance from our relationship with Christ. That friend, the greatest thing that you and I can do as believers is determine that we're going to abide in Him. Remain in fellowship with Him. Oh, there's vitality and vibrancy that comes to the Christian who abides in Him, to remain in fellowship with Him, to abide in His Word, to abide in prayer, to abide like we are this afternoon in worship, for He alone is worthy. Can I tell you, when you're low and you don't think you can take another step, can I tell you, not only is He with you, He is in you, and He gives you the sustenance in life to go on. There's strength in that name. Galatians 2:20, Paul put it this way, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, it's not I, but Christ. Philippians 4:13, the 10 most powerful words in the English language. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can I tell you, when you and I don't feel like we're sufficient, when you and I look at our own weakness and our own frailty, can I remind us that we need to look away from ourselves and look to Emmanuel. God with us. God in us. Paul put it this way, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ. That word dwell means to be at home. Do you realize that Jesus can live in us but not be comfortable with us? Because of things that may be in our lives that would grieve Him. Oh, what a time this Christmas to take inventory in our own hearts. To take time to abide in Him. To look into ourselves and deal with that in our lives that may hinder or may disrupt the fellowship that we have with the Lord. The good news is that once He comes in me, He will never leave me. Isn't that a blessing? But I sure don't want Him to be uncomfortable in my heart. I want Him to be at home there, don't you? He's God with us. He's God in us. And then I want to give you this. He is God for us. Emmanuel. Oh, how we need to look away from ourselves to Emmanuel. Because He's one of us. He is God with us and in us and for us. Can I give you a little verse? It's called Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we say to these things? These things. It encompasses all of life. The things that oppose us. The obstacles to our spiritual life. The living life for Him. Oh, I can tell you we have an enemy of our souls called the devil. He sure opposes us, doesn't he? Oh, the world that knows not God. This system of evil in our world that is anti-God, that is anti-Christ, that is all that, they're opposing. They're against you, aren't they? Think about the enemy we have within us, our own flesh. It's against us. We think about death. Death is, it opposes us. Well, what about life? What about its issues? What about the burdens that we carry? What about the times of brokenness, the pressures, the uncertainty, the times of the problems? We seem overwhelmed in our lives and we say with Jacob, we say, all these things are against me. All these things are against me. Can I tell you, friend, all these things may be against you, but Emmanuel is for you. He's for you. When you look at them and then you look at Him, you realize there's really no opposition. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. All to know that Emmanuel is in me and He's for me. One of the greatest lessons you'll ever learn is this, that God plus one always equals a majority. Because God is the majority. Isn't that a blessing? You need never fear any enemy, any issue, any problem that might come against you because Emmanuel is for you. What a blessing. God with us. God in us. God for us. What a truth. Oh, if we could just worship Emmanuel. Do you know Him this Christmas? I'm not talking about knowing about Him. I'm saying, do you know Him? I had known about Him all of my life. I did. I grew up in a pastor's, as a grandson of a pastor. I went to church all the time. I sat in church and I went to Sunday school, all of those things. I knew about him. I could tell you all the stories. I could. I'd learned them. I knew about him, but I didn't know him. I could quote John 3:16. I did. I could quote it, and as a little child, in my mind, I never remember a time in my life that I didn't know John 3:16. I don't. But you know what? There was a day in my life that I understood the meaning of John 3:16. It's one thing to know about Emmanuel. It's something else to know Emmanuel. It's one thing to know about John 3:16. It's something else to know the meaning of John 3:16. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved you and me. There's nobody outside the bounds of God's love. Nobody. I don't care what color they are, what culture, what language they speak. It doesn't matter. There's no one that God does not love. There's no one that Emmanuel did not come for. There's no one that Jesus does not love. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him as a gift. You see, God gave the first gift. It was His Son who gives the gift of eternal life, who went to the cross as our substitute, who died in your place and my place, who took our sin upon Himself, my sin, your sin upon Himself there at the cross. And there He paid in full the debt that you and I owe, the penalty for our sins. I'm glad that He didn't just die. I'm glad that when they laid Him in a tomb 3 days later, He got up from the grave, aren't you? I'm glad that He's alive today. You see, Christmas reminds us that Jesus has come, and it also reminds us that He's coming again. It does. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, not spend eternity apart from God in a place called hell. See, we in order to have a just universe, you have to have a just God. You do. Justice is not man's idea, it's God's matter because it comes from His own nature. And sin has to be dealt with. It has to be paid for. And God loved you so much that first Christmas that He gave His Son to pay for sins, to satisfy the demands of His justice, that sin's paid for, so that you and I don't have to pay for it in all eternity in a place called hell, that we can have the forgiveness of sins, that He paid for my sin and your sin so that I never have to pay for sin. God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants you to know Him. He wants you to have the gift of eternal life today. This Christmas, He wants you to have that. Oh, I'm so glad that I received that gift. See, I knew about the gift, but I never received the gift. I believed about Him, but I never believed on Him. I never received Him personally as my Savior. That's what that word belief is. Believing in Him. You see, a lot of people believe about Him, but you really don't know Him till you've believed on Him and received Him as your Savior. It's a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And God wants you to have it. But in order for you to have it, you have to come to grips with the fact that you can't save yourself. That no amount of religion or being good or doing the best you can take you to heaven. Can't do it. No matter how hard I try, never be good enough. That's why Jesus came. Friend, listen, if you could be good enough, I could be good enough, He wouldn't have had to have died. But the very fact that He did die, let us know He's the only way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if I own my sinfulness, that I'm a sinner, that I can't save myself, but Jesus came, Emmanuel came, God with us, that He might die in my place, that He might rise again, and then might offer me the gift of eternal life by receiving Him and Him alone as my Savior. Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me. That's it. Do you know Him? Have you received the gift of eternal life? Don't just know about Emmanuel this Christmas. Know Emmanuel. Let's bow our heads in prayer.